who colonized Ireland, or was it Ireland that colonized all these other places?
Basically, is what you did, the latter part. It's that I would say that the one thing is that the ancient Irish, this is the earliest inhabitants of Ireland, the early proto people of Ireland, who were called the Gaels, G-A-E-L-S. They spoke that they came from destroyed lands, but they spoke of four lands, not one. So this is disinformation that I clear up, is that there was more than one continent in the ancient times that was destroyed. The Gaels say that they arrived on Ireland, and it's interesting, isn't it, that the leader of the Gaels was a man called Nada, that's how you pronounce it in Gaelic, Nada. But in English you pronounce it Noah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this Noah, came, and get this, George, he came in a boat. He came in a ship in which he had saved his people, and the ship arrived at the coast of Ireland, and he was the savior of his people. Check
now,
this
wouldn't
out.
That be fascinating if that's what happened?
It's just one of these post-diluvian ancient mythological stories that is worldwide, can be found worldwide. And these individuals talk about the four lost islands, and I believe it is these high Gaelic cultures. That then, because remember, the word Celtic is not used by the ancient Irish. That was a Greek term. The Romans and the Greeks gave the word Celt to the Celts. So there's other terms that we need to be familiar with, and one of them is the Gaels. The Gaelic race were a powerful Druidic culture, very, very much endowed with spiritual and moral and technological abilities from the ancient civilizations which have been destroyed. So yeah, a lot of people have studied the ancient civilizations, but they're leaving off, George. They're stopping at, you know, a certain moment in time, and then they're not picking up the story to say, okay, well then, what are we doing? How did our civilizations get created? There's a tremendous missing piece here. It's like having a painting in which you've got the far ground and you've got the foreground, but you've no middle ground. We've got
Somewhere along the line here, Michael, somewhere along the line, there was this incredible myth and legend in Ireland of leprechauns. Fascinates me because, you know, when they talk about these little people with these, you know, incredible mystical powers, something was happening during that time period. What do you think it was?
Well, isn't it also interesting that when you do hear the terms in mythology about the folk, leprechauns and the elves and the fairies and the goblins and all of it, and the dwarves, when we all hear about that, what else are we also hearing about? We're invariably hearing about Hollow Earth, because all of these beings are meant to be interred in the earth, or they live beneath the earth. So the interesting thing is that Irish mythology also talks not only about these strange kinds of beings, but it also talks about the hollow earth concept, another fascinating idea that, you know, like the Scandinavians have their king under the mountain.
Yes.
And this is a tremendous study of the hollow place, the holy place, the original holy places where the oracles and the gods lived in the hollow earth. And Irish culture is, as you say, filled with these ideas. A lot of it is some of it's mistranslation from later monks and later people who looked back and misinterpreted the stories. Because the word fairy in ancient Celtic did not mean what it means today. It actually meant a being of power, a person who could shift their form and live in, and adopt different bodies, different modalities of living. So there's a whole, the alva, the word elf comes from the Scandinavian alva, which just means the white one or the pure one or the empowered one. And we have the banshee. And do you know the word in Celtic for power is exactly the same word in Hindi, siddhi. The word for magical power is siddh. S-I-D-E or S-I-D-H-E.
Well, but do you believe these were real beings?
Oh, yeah. I believe that these beings... Remember, we're looking back, so there's a lot of misinterpretation and there's a lot of coloring. But in the ancient times, the original Sid, or the original She, they call it, it's actually pronounced She in Gaelic, S-H-E. The original Gaelic people were people of unbelievable power, both technologically and magically. There's no question in my mind about that. These records are to be taken as seriously as a scientist would take his own theorems and paradigms. We have to start taking the legends of our forefathers in exactly that same reverent way. You know, I mean, the idea how I got interested in this is because, do you know that they say that, everyone's heard of Nefertiti, right, the famous Egyptian queen?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many people know that her daughter is buried in Ireland?
Her daughter is buried in Ireland? How'd she get there?
That's right. The story of Scotia, the daughter of Pharaoh Akhenaten and Nefertiti, was actually called Meritaten. But she was also called the nickname Scota, S-C-O-T-A. She's a woman who gives her name to Scotland. So, you know, we grew up in Ireland, and when I investigated this in Ireland, we discovered that not only is Scotia, the daughter of the pharaohs of Egypt, buried and traveled to live, to die, and to be buried in Ireland, this microscopic country on the western seaboard. We find out that in Christian occult legends, the Christian scholars point out that the prophet Jeremiah is buried in Ireland. They even know that his grave is in Loch Crew. We have a Tia Tefi, an Egyptian princess, buried in Ireland. We have mummified baboons. And check this out. The first king of the first dynasty of Egypt, this is millennia ago, the first king of the first dynasty was a king called Menes, M-E-N-E-S. He's buried in Northern Ireland.
What were they doing there?
Right. This is betraying the fact of the intense and deep rapport connections in ancient times between Ireland and England. These individuals were returning home. The Egyptian culture, I am believing, and I'm going, you know, my book is about this, is that I believe that the Egyptian pharaonic theocracies, even the autocracy, the setup, the whole monarchistic setup, a lot of the idioms that they used,
right.
And certainly, and most importantly, the theology, because earlier we talked about Luciferianism and the cult of the sun. I'm believing that the original solar church, the original stellar church, was Irish, and that it was the foundation of the Egyptian paradigm, that what we're calling Egypt is actually based on Irish Druidism. This has been purported. When I came to Ireland, I was studying this, and of course, you know, was of the opinion that nobody was interested in this. And then I bump into Jordan Maxwell, who publicly says from the stage, do you not know that all Judeo-Christianity is based on Druidism? So, you know, my heart nearly, you know, came out of my mouth. I said, what? American scholar saying this? He's absolutely right. So this has been a slow work to try and show that the roots of Egyptian and even Christian culture go back to the old Irish culture, the old Irish solar church that we need to start discovering about. And this explains why it is that so many of these dignitaries, for instance, Jeremiah in Ireland was not called Jeremiah. He was actually given the name Olam Fala, right? Olam is the old word for druid. And it's where we get the word oligarchy. So when people are saying, you know, the oligarchy, O-L-I or O-L-L-A, Allah meant the wise ones, the high ones. We still get our word oligarchy from that. And that was one of the names of Jeremiah.
Are there any pyramids in Ireland?
There was.
Chance?
Yeah, and they were taken down. In a great book by a fellow scholar, I think you're going to have him on your show very soon, is Andrew Power. He wrote a book called Ireland, Land of the Pharaohs. He's a fellow Irishman from Northern Ireland. He claims that at the... do you know that the oldest burial mound or oldest temple in the world is in Ireland?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it predates the pyramid by thousands of years, and it's in a place called County Meath, and it's the actual location is Newgrange, and it's been visited by your great scientists like Arthur C. Clarke and others, and lots of tourists go there every year. I certainly recommend people to go and look at this amazing building. There's pictures of it on my website.